G-21, Council Office, Great Shelter, New Kerguelen. As Dan McCarthy stepped through the doorway, he saw six extraterrestrials seemingly waiting for his arrival. Each wore a blue tunic, the uniform of the planet's officially defunct squadron. On their way to the council office, Dan had somewhat ironically taken a moment to remind Tara and Billy that while none of the messengers tended to be particularly receptive to any form of abstract reasoning, members of the squadron cast took this to a whole new level. While the messengers as a whole didn't seem to appreciate the weight of abstract reasoning anything like humans did, Dan warned that the squadron didn't even seem to recognize it. Reason was literally lost on them, he said. Alien to them, even, as he recalled the relative straightforwardness of the arguments Tara had used to successfully get through to them last time. For Dan, always quietly proud of Clark's military career, this was no slight on combat-focused groups in general. Rather, it was a recognition of the fact that the individuals who made up the squadron had been intellectually stunted by design to an even greater extent than the rest of the messengers. If Leisha and Sacco's interpreter cast had been raised as the architect's guard dogs, the squadron were without question their attack dogs. Brought up to see every perceived external problem as a nail and endowed with a metaphorical hammer of the gods in the form of ray-based weaponry Dan hoped humanity would never master, the squadron had always been a potent force. Amid Dan's group's own fears about the architects as well as their specific concerns about Piper, the possible problems that could be brought upon Earth by an unconstrained post-caste squadron-like grouping hardly bore thinking about. Just when he needed it least, this thought gave Dan McCarthy one more thing to think about. Just when they were already pushing his mind to its limit of sanity, the stakes had risen even higher. Seeing little sense in dumping any of this load on Billy and Tara, who both already knew how important their imminent words would be, and certainly didn't need any more weight around their necks, Dan didn't share his squadron-related fears with either of them. Hello, Dan began, setting a precedent of speaking out loud, one which he always preferred when conversing with relatively unfamiliar messengers, since it enabled or perhaps forced him to phrase his thoughts in a clearer way than could sometimes be the case when they left his mind unfiltered by his tongue and lips. The telepathy patches on the humans' necks negated the need for any table-based cable connections, but there was something Tara wanted to suggest. Sacco picked up on it before she even consciously raised the point. Tara, your telepathic acuity is comfortably sufficient to ensure you can only be heard by those you wish to converse with, he said, himself ensuring that only the humans could hear these thoughts. Billy, and most certainly Dan, the same is true for you. The squadron lack my kind's level of expertise in reading the inner thoughts of those around them, let alone the inner thoughts of another species, so only the thoughts you wish to share will be shared. We can confer, but once discussions begin in earnest, we will need to do so quickly if we don't want them to know. Okay, Dan replied, strategically, silently. Everyone, speak out loud when we want the squadron to hear and focus on only speaking telepathically amongst ourselves. That way we're not switching our focus back and forth.
I think we should still climb up onto the table even though we don't need to, Tara said. Whichever of them were here last time will remember it more clearly if we do that, and maybe subconsciously they'd be more likely to listen. I don't know. I mean, we have to stand somewhere anyway.
Dan was happy to give anything a shot, as was Billy, so they climbed up without further ado. The faces around the table weren't quite hostile, but they were far from friendly. Sacco, standing alone between the table and the doorway, addressed them all. Esteemed colleagues, as you know, I have brought with me three trusted friends from Earth to assist us in our efforts to restore and protect peace among our people, he said. Would you be so kind as to grant them your attention and allow them to share their suggestions without interruption? No, came the reply, originating simultaneously from at least three of the aliens seated around the table. No, Sacco said. We have lost control, one continued, staring directly up at Dan. A tipping point just a few minutes ago has taken crowd control beyond us, So whatever you have to say for yourselves, say it in the plaza and make it quick. For your own sake as well as ours. Make it quick. Dan felt his chest tighten in automatic reaction to these ominous words. Where's the plaza? He asked Sacco, turning to face him. The reply came in the form of a flash, and the answer came when Dan's vision returned. Surrounded by a veritable horde of gawping aliens in the central outdoor area of the once-lost city now known as New Birchwood, he was already there. So this is the plaza, Billy Kendrick stated, gazing around in wonder. Tara, taking more notice of the impatient and in some cases hostile-looking faces around them than the buildings and street layout which seemed to be enthralling Billy, gulped and whispered to Dan,
We really should make this quick.